in the name of our Lord and Savior. In this powerful message, discover how hearing and hearing the Word of God preached does not impact faith, but unlocks God's flow of supply and miracles into every area of your life. Be encouraged to keep hearing the preached Word and begin to see God impact His wisdom to you, supply your needs, and work miracles in your life.
Bless the name of the Lord for the choice of this hymn rendered by the choir with this specific question: who is on the Lord's side? I do pray that we will be able to say, like the refrain of that song, "By thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine." Let's turn our Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Let us rise as I read to us, beginning from verse 6. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning from verse 6. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.' Verse 8, 'But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Verse 12. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city." Let me read again verse 11. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Why do you stand here?" It's the topic I want to share with us in this brief sermon. Father, we pray you will speak to us. We pray, Lord, you will minister to us. You will energize us. Your word will come alive, and our lives will be transformed. We will take up the challenge, and we will do your will. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Let me begin by telling us that the book of Acts of the Apostles is a historical document. It's one of the historical books in the Bible. It is similar to what we have in 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Old Testament, which preserved the history, the events, the activities of the kings of Israel and Judah. The book of Acts of the Apostle, as the name goes, we have the activities of the apostles of Jesus Christ recorded to us. For us, for our own edification. These same people that we call the apostles of Jesus were first known as disciples. They were called as disciples. And as disciples, they were trained by the master. And they were commissioned after their training. The first time that Christ sent his disciples out to do a kind of, practical demonstration of what they have been learning from him. What you call, for engineering student or whatever, you call industrial training or teaching practice. Jesus sent his disciples out for the first time, as we have it in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning from verse 5, the Bible says, these 12, Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. In this first assignment, the Lord gave some restrictions. It was just a practical demonstration. It was a test for them. So he gave them some restrictions. Don't go too far. Stay within the household of Israel. And in verse 7, it says, as you go, preach. So the instruction first is for them to stay within a particular area. And then, specifically, that they should preach. And what's the message? Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Secondly, he said to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave them specific instructions while they were still under tutelage. They were still under training. He sent them out to practice the little they have learned from him. If you go to Mark chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says he called 12 unto himself that they might be with him and that he might send them out. So they had been with him. They had learned certain principles, certain truth about the kingdom of God. And at a particular time, Jesus felt it was necessary to send them out to test their abilities, that they may have firsthand experience of whatever they have been taught. And I believe that's the same purpose, that's the same reason why when teachers are under training, they send them out for teaching practice. Because this is what you will continue to do the rest of your life. So go to a classroom. Don't stay here and be learning and learning and learning. You go out there and be a teacher for 6 weeks or whatever and return. Then they will do an assessment. I have done that before. When I did postgraduate diploma in education, I was sent out to go and teach. And somebody came to supervise what I was teaching. So Jesus sent them out, preach, but in this case, he said, heal, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. That was the full range of the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. And I know that up till today, people still struggle with the full idea of, with the idea of the full range of the commissioning of the disciples. There are people who want us to stay only with preaching. Say, just go and preach about Jesus. But what we find in Scripture is that Christ says, go also and heal. Go also and raise the dead. In other words, go and carry out, go and perform miracles in my name. He didn't say to them, preach alone. He actually asked them that they should do a little more than that. And if you go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 1, when Jesus rose from the dead, this gives us an assumption that the training of the disciples at this time was complete. They had no more time to stay with the master. The master had been with them for 3 years, 3.5 years. Not only have they been with him to see him do certain things, he has also sent them out to do it. And of course, sometimes they came back rejoicing. You recall in one of their outings, they came back, they said, we saw the devil falling down like what? Like fire. Said demons were bowing down before us. And he said, don't rejoice because of this. But rejoice because you have what? Your name recorded in the book of life. And actually, this is the area where there must be some warning about performing of miracles. Jesus did not intend that because he has given us ability to perform certain miracles, we should rejoice so much in it to forget the purpose of the miracle. So he said, don't rejoice because demons are bowing to you. Rather, rejoice because you have a place in heaven. You also recall that there was a time that they went out and they couldn't perform miracle. The Bible said a man brought his son to them. And he asked them, this is my son. He explained to them everything the son was going through and told them, heal him. I have seen you done healing some times ago. This is one, heal him. And the disciples of Jesus Christ felt that that was not a big deal. We have done it before. We even came back to report to the master that demons were bowing down before us. And so they started their casting. Every casting and binding they did that they failed. And when Jesus returned to the scene, when Jesus came to the scene, the man, the father of the child, ran to Jesus and said, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't. It's very disappointing when you cannot, when you are not able. In any area, even in your profession, when something you think is very easy and you are not able to do it, it's very disappointing. It can frustrate someone. So, after Jesus healed this man, the disciples met him and asked him, Lord, why couldn't we? After all, we have been with you. We have learned a lot from you. You have even sent us out at once. And then we even came back reporting to you that demons were bowing down before us. What about this particular one? Why couldn't we? Jesus said, this cannot go unless you support your ministry with prayer. And I'd like to say very boldly here that when preachers of the gospel are lazy in the place of prayer, they want to find excuses to remove performance of miracles out of what Christ required of them. Say, I'm a faithful preacher. Christ has called me to preach. Thank God for your faithfulness. But those who go in the name of Jesus to also say, be healed, are they not Christ's servants? Has Christ not also called them and commissioned them? Are they not also faithful to what Christ has asked them to do? Now, where am I going? The disciples of Jesus Christ at this point, they stood and were looking, gazing intently into the sky. They had enjoyed the presence of this Jesus. for 3.5 years. And right before their own very presence, they were watching him taken away, being taken up. And the Bible said they watched until the sky hid him, until the clouds hid him from their faces, from their eyes. And you know, they were still looking. Some of them would say, I'm still seeing. Another one would say, it's gone. I can't see anything again. He said, look, if you look very well, you see by the part of that cloud, I'm still seeing him. And they were looking. And somebody would say, I'm still seeing him. Then two men stood by them. And the question they asked them, why are you standing here and looking? It was as though the disciples of Jesus Christ forgot the commission that he gave them. Did he call them to stand and be looking? No. He didn't call them to stand and be looking. But they stood there and they were looking. And so those two men in white, I want to assume they were angels that God sent to them. They told them, the same way you see him go, you will also see him come back. Instead of standing here and looking, it will be good for you. That's implied anyway. That you do what? You go and face the commissioning. You go and face the commission that he gave you. You go and face the assignments that he has entrusted to your care. And I have just reminded you, he has told them that they should go everywhere and preach the gospel. And Jesus said to them earlier on that you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses. Who is a witness? This word, from its original, from the original word used, martyrio in the Greek, points to somebody who testifies to confirm a truth, to confirm something. In Luke chapter 24, I guess in verse 44, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he told his disciples, you are my witnesses. You are the ones who have the responsibility to keep confirming to the whole world that I came to die for the sin of mankind, and I was buried, and that I rose again on the third day. You are my witnesses. Meaning, you are to continue to testify. You are to continue to confirm that these things are true. And Jesus actually told them, say, when you receive power, you are to take that power as the necessary, you know, grace that you need to bear witness to my name. And this time around, he broke every bond, every boundary. He removed all the boundaries. He didn't tell them now that go to only the people of Israel as at first. What did he say here? Beginning from Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and where? To the ends of the earth. So Jesus gave his disciples a commission that they must preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And of course, if you read Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of the promise that that power will come upon them by the coming of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. They received power. And the disciples of Jesus preached with such zeal, with such courage. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible tells us that 3,000 people were added to the disciples in a single day. How? By preaching the gospel, by witnessing, by testifying and confirming that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord. And afterwards, we also read that at another time, there was a preaching and God added another 5,000 And the number of disciples kept growing in Jerusalem. So much that in Acts chapter 6, the Bible said the church grew, that there was conflict. They seem to be fulfilling their commission, except that Jesus did not limit them to Jerusalem. And you recall that crisis came afterwards, persecution. And the Bible tells us that as a result of this persecution, the disciples were scattered. And as a result of their scattering, the gospel also spread. And I'm going to show you from the book of Acts of the Apostles some references. I'm not saying all of them. Some references of how the disciples of Jesus Christ, because of how they were scattered in the course of this persecution, how they went to different places and they were preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the persecution began with Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, who preached very boldly and condemned the actions of the people, and they stoned him to death. But afterwards, in Acts of Apostles chapter 8, beginning from verse 4, the Bible says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. People of God, let me say that we have been called to be witnesses. Please tell your neighbor, you are a witness. Except you don't know Jesus. You see, our song, we were following, the choir didn't invite us to join them in singing. But I had a lot of us following. We are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. If truly we are on the Lord's side, we have a common commission. To do what? To bear witness. And I've told us what witnessing means. To confirm that these things about Jesus Christ, they are what? They are true. That Jesus is the Son of God. That God sent him to save sinners. That he died because of our sins. That he was buried. And that he rose on the third day. And that salvation is given in no other name but through the name of Jesus Christ. And as we receive that commission, we are to behave like the disciples of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, everywhere they went, what were they doing? They were preaching. They were carrying out their commission of being witnesses. In actual sense, there is no place that we go on earth that should be seen as for a different purpose outside of the gospel. Because before you go to that place, God already knows that you are going to that place. If you plan to travel tomorrow, you are the one that is making plan now. God had planned that you will travel tomorrow. And that place you are going, it's supposed to be an avenue, a place, an opportunity for you to find someone to confirm the truth about Jesus to. They went everywhere and they were preaching the gospel. And the Bible tells us that Philip witnessed in Samaria and there was great joy in that city. There are still cities, there are still villages, there are still estates, there are still nook and crannies all around us that are waiting to receive the gospel news. They are waiting for that same kind of joy, that kind of joy that, you know, covered the whole of the city of Samaria. The Bible says there was great joy in that city. Look at verse 8 of Acts of Apostles chapter 8. There was great joy in that city. This evening, we want to preach the gospel in and around Thomas Estate, and we hope that great joy will descend in the name of the Lord Jesus. What brought great joy in Samaria? The preaching of the good news. The whole city. the whole city was overjoyed. And if you follow to verse 12, I say I'm going to show you some references. They believed in Philip as he preached. Why, what did they believe about Philip? His height. What did they believe about him? They say, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. Many times, we already conclude that there is no point preaching because they will not listen to me. There is no point preaching because they will not believe. If all the disciples of Jesus Christ had maintained the same stand, the gospel would not have reached us by now. But the Bible said, wherever they went, they were always preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And people were believing. The city of Samaria, people believed. They believed in the preaching of Philip, and they came to Jesus. Thereafter, Philip was taken, and he went to a road leading from Jerusalem to where? To Gaza. And he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And this time around, it was a teaching session. And from that teaching, he preached the gospel to him. And when the Holy Spirit caught him up after that, if you look at that chapter 8, verse 40, the Bible says, Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about. What was he doing? Preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. It amazes me that they considered their purpose of traveling as opportunity to do what? To preach. I want to beg us, God's people, if we are true witnesses of Jesus Christ, every opportunity that comes our way must be seen as an opportunity to preach the gospel. The people that God, you know, arranges for us to meet, and I say he arranged for us to meet, he does. Don't allow such people to go without confirming to them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Even if they already know, won't that just be that you are now two witnesses rejoicing together in the Lord? But if that person has not known, you owe that person the responsibility to let him or her know that Jesus is the Son of God. Everywhere Philip traveled to, from Azotus, he was doing a continuous traveling. The Bible said he traveled about like an itinerant evangelist, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The disciples were always preaching. Let me show you other examples of how they traveled about and they preached. Look at chapter 11 of Acts of the Apostles. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, we have the record of how the gospel got to Antioch. From verse 19, now those who had been scattered, again, those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. They didn't do well this time around. But at least they have done better than many of us. If you are Yoruba, how many Yorubas have you preached to? Or whatever tribe you speak, you are Igbo. At least, for the benefit of somebody saying Kedu to you, this is an Igbo man like me. Have you ever summoned courage to now tell him the gospel of Christ? For the benefit of somebody saying Ekaro, say Yoruba ni, have you summoned the courage to say, this is my brother, this is Yoruba man, he should hear the gospel? They went everywhere and they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the gospel. And that was how the gospel got to Antioch. And you know that the mission in Antioch was a special kind. Because the Bible tells us that it was out of Antioch that God called out Paul and Barnabas. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. reading from verse 5. When Paul and Barnabas had left because they have been commissioned to preach to Gentiles. The Bible says, when they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Paul and Barnabas also did the same. That's why there cannot be any appropriate name for this book we are reading than to call it the Acts of the Apostles. The activities. The, what other word should I use now? The actions. The what? I still need more. The works of the apostles. It shows that they preoccupied themselves with the mission that the master left them with. It became their work. It became their activities. It became their actions. Paul and Barnabas, they preached in the city of Salamis. What other example? In Acts of Apostles chapter 14, the same Paul and Barnabas, they were at Iconium. And of course, there was persecution. They were rejected. And then the believers hurriedly rushed them out of the city to another place called Derbe. And as soon as they got there, look at verse 7. The Bible says, where they continued to preach the good news. They rejected them in one city, and then they were even threatening to kill them. But as soon as they got to a safe place, they didn't stop preaching. The same reason why they wanted to kill them, they didn't stop it. They preached the gospel there. And in that same chapter 14, you go on to a verse like verse 15. When they came to another city, in that city, people wanted to deify them. He said to Paul and Barnabas, "This must be the gods that have come to visit us." And in verse 16, Paul says, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." In other words, they started preaching the good news. And in verse 21, the Bible said they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. How did they win a large number of disciples? How? How? By preaching the good news. We don't win people by any other means other than the power of the good news. You see, that's why Paul, writing to the Romans, to encourage them because of his imprisonment. You know, Paul was in prison as at the time he was writing that letter. And, you know, to be in prison was a shameful thing. All of us know this. If you see somebody who is an ex-convict, there are a lot of discrimination. You don't want to do business with him. You don't trust him. Or if something happens here and they say somebody is going to prison, everybody will think, this is something terrible that has happened to this person. So there was a way some people were looking at the situation of Paul. Say, a man in prison. That is something terrible. But Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that has brought me these chains." In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "How can I be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, within which lies the power to bring salvation to mankind?" Look at it. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God." Listen, there is mystery in the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So he said, "How can I be ashamed of something like that? That I'm in prison because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think it's a shameful thing. For me, it is not." I would rather rejoice that I'm in prison for the most noblest of things on earth, the good news that possesses the power to turn people from their sins to God who loves them. There is power in the gospel message. And the Bible tells us about the disciples of Jesus. They were preaching everywhere. I think I want to stop here with the examples. The purpose of preaching this way is to charge us, to encourage us, to remind us that we have a commission to preach the gospel. God is not saying, go out there and convert people. That's not what he's asking us to do. Because nobody has the power to convert anybody. Nobody. You cannot do it. It is a thing of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts sinners. But the sinner is waiting to hear the good news. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Somebody is waiting to hear the word of God. You have heard the word of God how many times? Can you number it? No. That's why those angels appeared to the disciples as they were gazing into the heaven. You have seen this Jesus enough. And you are going to see him again. Go and tell others so they can also prepare to see him when he comes. How many worship have you been involved in? Can you count? How many times have you listened to the messages of Christ being preached? Can you count? Now it is your turn to also go out there and do what? And preach the message to somebody who is waiting to hear. Paul says in that Romans chapter 10, say, how can they hear unless somebody goes to preach to them? Sometimes we even see people on the road and we assume, this one must have heard the gospel. How do you know? The way I'm seeing this one is a Christian. Is there any way any Christian appears that a sinner does not appear? So I want to challenge us, beginning from this evening, let us see the opportunities of meeting people as opportunities of telling them about Jesus. That place where you work, the people who walk into your office and go, you see, necessity makes them to walk into your office. If you tell them about Jesus, that will not stop them from coming to your office. And all of us must devise means of sharing the gospel. If your status or whatever will not permit you to sit someone down and say, sit down, let me tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't think that your status will stop you from handing a tract and tell somebody, please, I want you to read this. I beg you. You will find something meaningful there. Maybe because of how important you are to that person, the person may go and read it. It may make meaning to that person than for him to meet someone on the street who gives him the same tract. He may throw it away and say, well, what is this person talking about? But because of your status and your importance, and you hand him one and say, please, I want you to read this. Pay attention to the content. It's the message of Jesus. People of God, we have a commission. We have a mission. We must fulfill our mission. No matter what we do in life, this mission was not given to the apostles alone. Remember, as at the day of the Pentecost, there were about 120 disciples all together waiting in one room, not only the 12. And in fact, the earliest people that we read about who went everywhere preaching were not even numbered among the 12. Was Stephen among the 12? Philip the evangelist. Oh, of course, Philip the evangelist was among the 12. But there were many of them who went to places. Was Barnabas among the 12? What about Silas? What about Timothy? They all received this commission and they were preaching everywhere. I challenge you, find a means of sharing Find a means of witnessing because you are supposed to be a witness. Day-to-day activities must involve witnessing, must include witnessing. Find a means to ensure that somebody hears the gospel from you. It is in the gospel that the power of God to save sinners is embedded. And you need to preach it before somebody will hear it. Let us pray.
This message was brought to you from the ministry of Victory Baptist Church, Aja, 527 Lewis Street, by Sweetwaters, Aja, Lagos. Telephone 0807-460-4212 or 0807-460-4250. Email info@vbcaja.org. You can also visit our website on www.vbcaja.org. Victory Baptist Church. We are the light on the peninsula.